I'm sure that most of you listening from home expect me to use this fifth Sunday of Lent to preach in a passage from the New Testament. And that would surely make sense, since we stand just 2 weeks away from Easter, if you can believe it, and you'd expect us then to be engaged completely in the story of Jesus. But those of you who know me, however, know that I often don't do what's expected. I like to shake things up a little. That's certainly true this morning, as I'm not going to preach in the gospel lesson from John that tells the story of Jesus' raising of Lazarus. No. Instead, I'm going to focus our attention on this morning's passage from the Hebrew Scriptures, or Old Testament, a passage from the book of Ezekiel. Why would I do that? You might wonder, just to shake things up? No. I have a much better reason for wanting to preach from the book of Ezekiel. For you see, the words attributed to Ezekiel way back in the 6th century BCE have much to say about our lives today. Let me tell you why I say that. The prophet Ezekiel was born into the southern kingdom of Judah at a time when his society was in dire straits. His community was rife with social injustice and social inequities. Sound familiar? So Ezekiel began his prophetic career by saying some difficult things about what lie ahead for his community in Jerusalem. Sure enough, the difficult things he predicted came to pass when Judah was defeated by the Babylonians and many prominent members of society, including Ezekiel, were dragged off into exile, were dragged against their will into a world that looked nothing like the one they were used to. Again, sound familiar? Well, it's about this time in Ezekiel's prophetic career that today's passage came along, a time when the people were separated from the ones they loved and the life they had known. They, in other words, like us, were in an incredibly difficult spot. At that very moment, Ezekiel could have given any number of messages. He could, for instance, have done what many of us would like to do and say, neener, 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 I was right and you were wrong. But he didn't. No, with the leading of God's Holy Spirit, Ezekiel put forward another vision. So hear now that vision is given in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. I'll read those words from the Common English Bible. The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" I said, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word.' The Lord God proclaims to these bones, 'I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. I will put sinews on you, place flesh in you, and cover you with skin. When I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just as I was commanded. There was a great noise as I was prophesying, then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone. When I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them. The flesh appeared, and then they were covered over with skin. But there was still no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breath, breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company. He said to me, Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely finished. So now, prophesy and say to them, The Lord God proclaims, I'm opening your graves. I will raise you up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you to Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people. I will put my breath in you, and you will live. I will plant you on your fertile land, and you will know that I am the Lord. I've spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Lord says. Thus ends this morning's reading. I can just sense through your screens even what some of you might be thinking after hearing those words from the prophet Ezekiel. I get it, Pastor Craig. Ezekiel said that while the world might seem bad right now, don't worry, things are going to go back to normal. I guess I can just sign off now and start binging episodes of The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. Not so fast. For the wisdom the Spirit offers through Ezekiel is a bit more complicated than simply promising a return to normal. And if you want to get at some of the deeper wisdom, there's a commentary there by Christopher Hayes that can be exceptionally helpful. For Christopher takes a common element of the story, one that most of us probably completely overlooked, blows it up, and pulls from it a lesson that can completely change the way we look at the world, both today and tomorrow. In looking at the passage, Christopher Hayes writes, the sequence of events which unfolded in Ezekiel's vision is made pretty clear. First, the dry, scattered bones are pulled back together in recognizable form in verses 7 and 8. And then, only after the bones had been put together, was breath then breathed into them in verse 10. Remember that order. First, the bones were reassembled, and then life or spirit was breathed into them. Got it? But when Ezekiel began by laying out the vision, what order of events did he predict? Well, in verse 5 and 6, just before the action began, Ezekiel said this, The Lord God proclaims to these bones, I am about to put breath in you and you will live again. And then in the next verse, verse 6, he continued, I will put sinews on you and place flesh on you. In other words, the words from the Spirit that Ezekiel spoke reversed the order. Breath first. Spirit said, and then the bones are put together. Why the difference between the prophetic vision and the unfolding of events? Was Ezekiel not paying attention and just mixed it up? No, says Christopher Hayes. There's a much more important reason. Perhaps Ezekiel's prophecy changed the order of things, Hayes wrote, because, and I quote, the restoration of the Spirit is the most important promise of the two. For while many of us might be more interested in pulling those bones together, the Spirit knew better. The Spirit knew that, and again to quote Hayes, physical stuff is not worth much without the Spirit that is breathed by God. so. Let me take that powerful lesson. The lesson that says having the Spirit breathe back into us is more important than just putting things back together. And see what it can teach us about our lives and our present circumstance. When I talk to most folks these days, all I hear from people is the same thing over and over. I can't wait for things to get back to normal. In other words, I can't wait for the scattered bones or those elements of my life to be put back the way they used to be. But here's what I don't hear them talking about. How was your life before that stay-at-home order was issued? How satisfying was your normal? How was your marriage or primary relationship? How were the dynamics in your family? How was your job? How was the social and political climate of the world? In other words, do you really want to go back to the way things used to be? Or might we shift our focus away from the what was and start putting our focus on what it could mean to have the Spirit breathe back into us so that we might enter into a new existence, a new way of being, a new normal, if you will. I got a powerful lesson about this just this past week as I was working long, long hours trying to figure out how we might do member care in the church during this time of so-called social distancing. So in order to do that, I figured I'd create a Google spreadsheet, list all of the households that are represented in our participant directory, and then gather a team of volunteers who would start making telephone calls, sending texts, or shooting off emails. And in the first 6 days of the project, I noticed something fascinating, something that I would have never been aware of had it not been for this awful global pandemic that led to the stay-at-home order. I noticed that when attempts at contact were made, those attempts covered about one-third of the congregation. Many were nervous about extending themselves and talking to folks they didn't know. So as I watched those things play out, I realized that during normal times, most of us interacted with just about one-third of the community that we knew well, folks that we call our church family. Then, there's about another one-third of the church that we might wave at or smile at politely when we pass them in the aisle at church. And then, there was about another one-third of the community that were complete strangers, folks who were completely off our radar. So when I thought about this notion of reassembling the bones and putting them back and getting back to normal, it was pretty clear that as the pastor of this community, I didn't want to do that. I wanted something different, something more. I use this example from our church life to get us thinking this morning. As we think about the days ahead, the days after the stay-at-home order is lifted, is our primary goal to get back to normal? You know normal. The days when you worked 60 hours a week and maybe saw your loved ones only in the weekends. The days when I call-screened members of my family rather than address the buried resentments I've carried with them for decades. The days when I would choose to bury my despair or aimlessness by numbing myself with an extra glass of wine every evening or a pint of mint chocolate chip ice cream. Is that what I'm going to go back to? Or am I going to aim higher? Do I want God to breathe spirit, breathe life into me and to us, even if that means embracing a new normal in our life, in our families, in our church, and yes, even in our world? That, my friends, is the question before us. May God's gracious and generous Spirit breathe new life into us as we live into that new normal that God has for us, one that is far better than the old. Amen.